So I am here with Marjane Satrapi and Vincent Perrenot, who are both the writers and directors most recently of Chicken with Plums. Marjane, Vincent, how are you doing?
We are doing great.
That's fantastic.
Yes.
Fine.
So I am extremely fascinated by the way that you adapted this movie, and you've adapted both of your works. In Persepolis, there's this extended winemaking explanation for the secret parties. And there's also the increased attention to shopping with, of course, the Marjane, and that's saying one of my favorite pastimes over and over, which suggests something that was almost explicitly designed for the cinematic medium. Now, in Chicken with Plums, you have a number of moments that take on greater life in the film adaptation. To just cite two, you have the various deaths that Nasser Ali imagines, which is only half a page in the book, which becomes this glorious montage, this wonderful set piece. And then you also have the satirical episode in California in the book take on this kind of 1950s sitcom, kind of like Natural Born Killers, but a totally different style in the movie. So, you know, my question is do you see these movies as a way to improve upon what you laid down in the books, or do you see them as a separate entity that only film can actually create? And what do the two of you do to, you know, heighten certain moments and kind of silent other ones?
No, I think the film has to have its own identity and entity, and this is not that I think that the books, they are bad and that's why we have to make a movie. And actually, you know, I mean, for myself, you know, I never want to make a work of adaptation again.
Yeah.
Because it's very boring. You know, you once have to think about the story in one way and then thinking about it in another way. But it was a reason for that is that, you know, it was not my idea to make Persepolis. I had a friend who wanted to become a producer who proposed to make Persepolis. And somewhere, you know, deep down of myself, I always thought, why not try something, you know, and learn something? And in the worst case, you know, we will make the worst film in the world, but at least I have learned something. And I proposed it to Vincent, who is a very good friend of mine. And
yeah,
we used to laugh a lot, you know, for the joy of working for him. And he said yes. And so we started doing it. So we made this Persepolis, and obviously, you know, it got all the attention it got. And very naively, we thought that since we were Oscar nominee, now we will say we are going to make another film and they will open a door, you know, to a room with billions of dollars and they will tell us, take all the dollars that you want and make your film. But this is not true.
Yeah.
Because we are living in a world of remakes. Everybody wants to make a remake of a film. We want to make the things that have already been done. Like before in Hollywood, somebody would go with a script, see a producer. Producer would say, I would like to watch this film. And maybe if I feel like seeing it, other people, they would like to see it. And today you go and I have already seen this film. It has made me lots of money, so I want to see it again.
Yeah.
So it's a big, major difference. But we wanted to try something new. We had a reason, specific reason why we made Persepolis in animation, because we wanted to be universal. And since that was a very story, specific story of a specific moment of the specific country, the fact of putting it in a real geography with some type of real human being, that would have been a rejection from the other one. Like, this geography, we don't know. These people, they don't look like us. But the abstraction of the drawing actually gave us the possibility to having a much more of a universal thing. Here we come to Chicken with Plum. Of course, you know, you have to make a work of adaptation. You have a story. You read the book, you put it apart, you take whatever you think it's usable for the film, like the structure, some dialogues, etc., etc. But then it's a language of the cinema. It's very different from the language in a book, in the comic books. So you have to think cinema. And then for the highlights of the film, the question of rhythm is possible just by working a lot. The fact is that both of us, we like to laugh a lot.
Yeah.
The vision that we have of the world, in the complexity of the human being, the visual style, these are the things that we have in common, but then we work a lot.
Yeah.
This is it.
So how do you two riff off of each other? How do you two work together? I'm really curious to get Vincent's thoughts on the adaptation and the creative process as well. Vincent, do you serve as a sort of like a veto mechanism or anything? Or how do you contribute to this? I'm really curious.
Notre manière de travailler, oui, ben c'est tout bête, hein, on se voit, j'avais lu le livre, et puis après on parle de la manière de l'adapter.
So it's really very easy. I read the book, we see each other, and we talk about the way that you're going to make this work of adaptation.
Et voilà, donc c'est déjà, ça a l'air de rien, mais c'est très important parce que vu, étant donné qu'on va travailler par la suite ensemble sur l'adaptation, enfin sur la manière de voir le film, puis après de tourner, voilà. Donc c'est très important d'être d'accord à l'origine.
So it's very important because, you know, these meetings that we have at the origins are going to affect whatever we will do later on a set, in the way of filming, in the way of, you know, treating everything.
Et voilà, après moi je travaille avec Marjane parce que j'aime bien les histoires qu'elle raconte.
Then I work with Marjane because I love the story that she says.
Voilà, et moi dans mon univers personnel, c'est aux antipodes de ce qu'elle fait.
And my personal universe, you know, the personal world of my own is really the complete opposite of what she does.
Donc c'est intéressant et c'est stimulant intellectuellement ou artistiquement.
So it's stimulating intellectually and artistically. Mm-hmm.
Voilà. Et pour en terminer avec notre collaboration, je parlais tout ce truc avant, parce qu'après arrive le moment d'être sur le plateau, ce qui est un moment très intense, et voilà, qui peut entraîner beaucoup de tensions. Donc après, on se divise le travail avec Marjane plus du côté des acteurs, et moi plus mise en scène, ce genre de choses.
Then I say all of that because then, you know, when we arrive on the set, we split the work because we have prepared it. So Marjane is with the actors and I'm with the cinematographer. And, you know, sometimes we have a lots of tension and it doesn't work, but most of the time it does.
Oh, really? So if you split it down between technical and acting, you know, how did you two collaborate on the first film? And how were the duties split for Persepolis?
Well, for Persepolis, it was the same, you know, like I would go and, you know, like simulate the movement, you know, on the in front of them. Vincent would choose, you know, the movement of the camera, the background. But all of that is so much related, you know, because like acting is, you know, when you are directing a film, you know, you have to think about actors, but you have to think about the frame. So everything is connected. It's not like you have one part of the sure. part and the other part. So since that is this connection, that's what he was saying. You know, it's this work of preparation is very important because like that, you know, we know what the other one is doing. Mm-hmm. But, you know, sometimes, you know, like I don't like, you know, a framing that he does. I give a direction of acting that he does not like. Most of the time it goes fine, but sometimes it's a fight, you know, we go out, we yell at each other.
How detailed do these fights get?
You know, like, go fuck yourself, you know, things like that. And in the night I pray that he will die. He certainly wow. died, they pray that I die too. But then we sleep and then that is the day after and we have forgotten. And the result of that is that we are still friends.
So death threats are really the best way to get the creative process flowing, I presume.
Absolutely. Yeah. Death is always the best for everything. Oh. We have to be aware of our death because that will come, either yeah. we want it or not.
Sure. So I wanted to actually ask you, because Chicken with Plums, especially the graphic novel, a lot of the panels in it are basically white backgrounds or black backgrounds. You pretty much have the characters, the drawings, and then that's it. Like, for example, the bus scene in the book is much different from that in the film. So what steps did you two take to flesh out the background? Because now you're dealing with sets, production design, and so forth. I mean, you know, were a lot of the ideas of the look of the film already in your head, Marjane, when you had actually done the book? Or, you know, how did you two collaborate on fleshing it out further?
Well, the thing is that, you know, it's a work of adaptation. Yeah. We should never forget that. We never want to make a comic turn live in a live action. Yeah. Not at all. This is not that. Is that, you know, for us, a book is a book, you know. Graphic novel, comic, or a book. So you make a work of adaptation. Of course, you know, you have to think cinema. And of course, you know, in the stories that I make as comics, you know, I don't like to put backgrounds because, first of all, it just annoys me to draw them. But also, you know, I think that in a comic book, you read everything. Yeah. And my comic book, they have lots of words. So if you make a very heavy drawing, that means that, you know, the whole rhythm of reading becomes much more difficult. So from the second that you make a work of adaptation, then you have to think cinema. But then the visual style comes, as we say, from the work. You know, these are references that we have in common. We talk, you see a set designer, the set designer gives you some idea, you say yes, you say no, and it is little by little that these things it constructs. You know, it took us like 2 years to prepare the film, you know, you know, like 3 months to really prepare the film, 2.5 months to shoot it. You have a year of post-production. So you have all the time, actually, to ask yourself the question. It's not like 1 second we sit and we say, okay, the bus is going to be like that, and this is going to be like that. It's really, it comes layer by layer. You don't know, but it's just by researching that you can know. So it's just time and work.
Oh, so you rely a lot on research and looking for research shots, elements in advance?
Of course.
Yeah, yeah. Even for this sort of German expressionistic, heightened, exaggerated look of much of the film. I mean, did you two lay down some ground rules on how far you could go in terms of the kind of exaggerated German expressionistic kind of look? I was curious about that. Anything in advance? Like, we can go this far, but we can't go that far.
No, because we have not made any film school, so we don't know how far we can go. We just go We just go as far as we want to go. Cinema is a domain that you can have no limit to your imagination.
Yeah.
Until we like it, you know, like we talk about the sitcom. You know, the sitcom can be considered vulgar and of bad taste. But both of us, we are a little bit vulgar and we have a little bit of bad taste.
Yeah.
And we like that. You know, the sitcom is not really the sitcom of the 50s. It's really, you know, like Who's the Boss? You know, this is the kind of thing that we grew up with, that we watch, and they say, oh, where did you get this idea? Well, you know, this is the American way of life that America has been sold, you know, all over the world for the past 50, 60 years. So if you have this house in the suburb, the big car, the wife who is blonde, 3 kids, 2 dogs, then you're very, the pink shoe couch, then you're very happy.
Mm-hmm. So Vincent, would you agree with this, that bad taste is perhaps a greater inspirational force than, say, something that is lofty and cultured?
Oui. oui, bah, de toute façon, c'est une référence comme une autre. On n'est pas fait d'une seule glaise ou d'une seule matière. Je veux dire, c'est aussi pour ça qu'on travaille ensemble avec Marjane. C'est évidemment, les références sont multiples.
Yeah, it depends on what you want to say, but you know, of course, we have different references. It's not always, you know, like the high references, like you say, German Expressionism. These are many, many things that have inspired us.
Et voilà. Et c'est stupide d'être juste focalisé sur une chose. Et de toute façon, parler d'humour, on en parle souvent avec Marjane. Je veux dire, ça fait partie aussi de ce genre de référence. Autrement, c'est très ennuyeux. De toute façon, notre film aussi est construit de manière à ne pas ennuyer le spectateur.
Mais it's the same thing, you know, for the use of humor, because otherwise, you know, the film that we will make will be very boring. And one of the things is actually not to make a boring film.
Parce qu'il faut pas oublier que c'est un mélo, et un mélo, on peut plus faire un mélo à 100% maintenant. Enfin, nous, en tout cas, on peut pas le faire. Donc après, il faut trouver des astuces pour raconter cette histoire d'amour sans être ennuyeux.
So, you know, because it's a melodrama and, you know, like, we don't know how to make, you know, a 100% melodrama today. You don't make melodrama anymore anyway. So, you know, it's always to find the ways to be able to make that.
Yeah. So, Vincent, when she has a very specific vision and you have something that is non-specific, we alluded to death threats in conflict before, you know, did you win any battles on this film? Any specific vision that you had that you guys were able to hash out? I was really curious about this angle too.
Si on s'est engueulé, Non, pour la vision globale du film, pour être honnête, on était très, enfin, d'accord.
No, for the global vision, we were okay. It's always, you know, our big fights always come from small details. It's like all the fights with all the people. You never fight for a real issue. You always fight, you know, for some stuff that they don't have any importance.
What's an example of a small detail that you guys got into it for?
Like, I don't know. But, you know, it's something I have to tell you, is that I always, and he's the same, I never remember why I fight with him or with anyone at all. You know, it's like I fight and then it's over and I don't never think about it. I cannot tell you. I have forgotten all.
Yeah.
But like for some bullshit, you know, like but really, you know, it's even not. I don't remember, and second, I don't think it's even important to remember it. Yeah. I don't want to remember it.
Inevitably, it's going to come up like every 10 days or every 20 days or something like that.
I don't know, but you know, like, you know, let's say, okay, if you really want to be precise, let's say, you know, like 90% of the time we are very gentle to each other and 10% of the time is fight.
Yeah.
Which is okay. It's not 50-50. Yeah. It's even not 60-40, so, you know, it's okay.
Et puis c'est tout à fait normal. Je veux dire, on a deux personnalités, enfin, voilà. totalement différente. Le miracle, c'est plutôt qu'on arrive à faire des choses.
Yeah, and that is very normal. We have two extremely different personalities. The miracle is that we manage to do stuff together.
Mm-hmm. Après qu'on s'engueule un peu,
c'est pas très grave. Yeah, so that we fight a little bit, you know.
Yeah. So there's a little bit more politics that's in the graphic novel, the stuff with the Mozambique and nationalizing oil and so forth. And I noticed that there wasn't so much of that in the movie. And I'm wondering, you know, why were the politics toned down? Was it strictly an adaption issue? Was it the idea of explaining something to the audience as opposed to allowing narrative to unfold?
Or again, it's a work of adaptation. And yeah. Again, the book is not the film. So, you know, in the book, it has a certain importance. In the film, it has its importance because it's underneath. Because the character's name, the female character's name is Iran, is like being called America in America. And the name of country is Iran also, and not Iran, since George Bush made us turn to Iran, Uran, Iran. So Iran, Iran. And yet that is this whole discussion with his two brothers, but we wanted to keep it underneath. We wanted to make a love story, and that was it, you know? Like, you know, when Jean-Jacques Hano, he makes in the name of the rose from the book of Umberto Eco, yeah. He does not take all the philosophical and historical part. He takes really, you know, one part of that, and he just goes, and that is the way you make a good film. A good film is a good film because you have an angle, you have a turning point. If you want to put everything that is in a book in a film, it's impossible. A book is always more sophisticated and more complicated than a book because, you know, you can write a book of 2,000 pages, 1,000 pages. You can go in all the direction. A book, you know, it does not have any format. A movie is one and a half hour, 2 hours, 2.5 hours. I mean, we are not anymore in 1920, and we are not Erich von Stroheim, and we can make 8 hours movie. And people, they give me money. I mean, I would have loved to make an 8 hours movie.
Yeah.
But first of all, nobody will give me the money. Second of all, nobody will go and watch it.
Yeah.
So,
did the two of you face any sort of commercial restrictions? Hey, you are making a film. We have to make the money back. There's more money involved than, say, doing a book. I mean, did this affect any of your artistic control for both of you?
No, or are you pretty much
left alone?
No artistic control, but lots of stress and lots of acid in the stomach.
Okay.
And that was not good. That was not fun.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, I
the problem is
now.
That when you make a movie, the time that you have to explain to the people what you want to do, that not even the crew of your film, the rest of the people, it takes you so much time that if you leave you, they leave you in peace, you can concentrate on your own work and you can make a better film. So this is a message for the producers.
Yeah. So having actors involved, I mean, to me, a lot of the moments in the film, in some cases, had more emotional resonance than in the book. I think, for example, of when the puppet show is revealed to be the rag dolls. And by having an actor there and lingering upon that moment, we really see sort of the pain of that revelation. Did the film afford you opportunities to extend emotions in a way that you might have been dissatisfied with in terms of the book, that it actually transcended the adaptation, that suddenly you have another element here?
You know, but your whole thing is that you all the time come back to the book. Just forget about the book. The book is the book. We read it, we put it apart, and then we make a film. We are not making a study between the comparison between the book and the film, because otherwise there is no point to make a film and there is no point to talk about the book. The book is an object. Your movie has to work without reading the book, and the book has to be read without seeing the movie. There is no connection between them. So I just don't want to make again this comparison. The book is that, and in the book we have this, and within the book we have that. This is a film. Of course, in the film we have actors. Of course, if these actors, they are good, they bring sensation. Of course, something that you read is just stuck in your imagination, and when you have it there with the music, etc., etc., then it becomes something else. But I think we should stop to talk about the book and the film, because it's, you know, I'm repeating myself like 10 times. It's two different things.
Okay, well, how about directing the actors and selecting the actors to get the emotional moments that are specifically designed for the film? What experience did you bring to this?
Well, you know, the actors, you have to have a good idea of who you want to play the roles. Then you have, you know, then you have the cast. We have the wish list with the cast that we wanted. Thanks God, everybody that we wanted, they said yes. And also in Europe, it's very easy. You know, if you want to contact an actor, you just call them. You don't have to go through 50 different people. And So, you have great actors. First of all, you know, people like Mathieu Amalric, Maria de Medeiros, Isabella Rossellini, Golshifteh Farahani, all of them, they're great, great actors, and they're very much fitted for the role. And this is it. So this is, first of all, our intelligence to find the actors that we think they will fit. But then they were also not diva actors. They were extremely committed to the project. And that was also, you know, that this film was a beautiful playground for them, because the whole set was really constructed. Most of the effects, they were special effects. The special effects, they were actually on set. They were mechanical. So I think that, you know, how fun can it be for an actor to play on in front of a green screen? Not really. But here, actually, you know, they really had a whole world in which they could amuse themselves. And also, as I say, they were intelligent, committed, interesting, great actors. So
sure,
we were lucky with that.
One last question, and I'm really curious about this. The visual look you often have, both in the comics and in the films, is definitely silhouette, it's darkness, and it's figures against a background. I saw in the film of Chicken with Plums that all of a sudden there's a slow move away from the silhouettes. There's that romantic moment where we do, in fact, see the silhouettes yet again. But I'm wondering, you know, this seems to me something that is deeply ingrained in your sort of artistic toolkit. And I'm wondering what steps you took to sort of resist the innate desire to explore, like, silhouettes against the background and so forth. Was there any conscious efforts on your parts to kind of just, you know, broaden the palette a little bit?
No, you just look at the thing that will fit best the film, you know, silhouette. If it helps the narration, great. If it doesn't, you know, making the thing, you know, that we don't see what is happening in the face of the actors is not convenient. So, you know, you just do it because you feel this is the right way of doing it.
Yeah.
This is it.
Okay. Marjolaine Vincent, thank you so much. It was a pleasure to chat with you.
Thank you very much.
Thanks.